Welcome to the Two Mics on the Record.
On the Record.
This is, of course, our ever-growing podcast, which we put out twice a week.
That's right.
And, of course, we do our favourite Ask Porky's in there.
Well, we do we also today. This is today's episode,
this
obviously.
Is today's episode of Ask Porky for December. Yeah. We also do the Porky Review of Books.
Yes.
We also do Porky Vision.
Yeah, they're very popular,
the last
popular,
one of
know.
Which was very popular.
Very popular.
Indeed. In fact, somebody said it was getting back to normal, where they couldn't understand a word you were talking about.
Well, no, some said that it helped them understand what was going on, had another complaint because one of the last shows I did was called Blood.
Yes.
And somebody had not watched the last two episodes before I revealed how it all finished.
Is that the one with Frank the Skank?
Frank the Skank, that's right, yeah, waving a gun around in the middle of a deserted road in Northern Ireland for some reason nobody's ever explained to me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sorry, all I can say is to all our listeners is that if you don't keep up with the ball, mate, the port mice is going to get there ahead of you.
Yes.
Okay, it's quite as simple as that. Mm. So I can't be holding on for weeks and days at a time waiting for you to catch up on your television. You get in there and you get it done.
Okay. Well, now I've got a whole host of questions.
Excellent.
Ranging in all sorts of different areas, some sporty ones, some non-sporty ones, financial questions.
For Ask Porky.
For Ask Porky, which we are now going to do. So let's kick it off from Twitter with a question from Lee, who says, what's worse, Porky, your team losing in injury time to a bizarre goal or finding you've run out of Pinot Grigio midway through a night of bladderisation?
Well, you see, this is a cruel one, this, because I thought I'd got over that. I thought I'd got over it. He's referring, obviously, to the Everton-Liverpool game of, a week and a half ago or whatever. And I have to say, it was the most galling defeat I think I've ever suffered. I once went to Bournemouth when we were 3-2 up in the 96th minute, okay? Right. Turned round to the Bournemouth chairman, who'd invited me into the boardroom for drinks afterwards, and started saying to him how sorry I was that we had to come here and drink all your booze and then still take 3 points off you. And by the time I looked back round again, because I couldn't understand why the Bournemouth chairman was grinning, Bournemouth had equalised and it was 3-3. So I have had these problems before. But the most amazing thing was that Jordan Pickford on that night didn't have to do anything with that ball. That ball was sailing over.
Why couldn't he have just let it go?
If it hits the top of the crossbar, the ball is out of play. So it couldn't have come back into play without Jordan Pickford's hands being involved
in it. So if he hadn't touched the ball,
it
would have just gone out of play.
It would have gone out of play.
What a plank. I thought you said just before that game, the previous day or the day before, that he was the best goalkeeper in the Premier League.
I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world.
Mm.
But in hindsight, what I'd have done is, because the ball came from so far away, I'd have judged its movement and then thought, if that is going to hit the bar and come back, I'm going to turn around and face the bar and then take the ball as it hits the bar. Yes. Do you see what I mean?
A couple of people have asked whether or not your Raise the Bar campaign is still in operation.
It certainly is.
Given that if the bar had been raised in that instance, the ball would have gone straight in.
Yeah, but you see, I don't agree there, because if the bar had been raised by 6 inches, Jordan Pickford would then have to have made a save. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but he might not be able to reach it because he's quite a small goalkeeper.
No, 6'1", and when you leap 2 feet in the air, you're 8'1", and the post would then be 8'6" high.
Yes.
So don't worry about that. That would have all been okay.
Okay.
So the answer to that
is... So what's the answer?
Actually, funny enough, I remember now back to watching that game, and the two almost coincided.
Yes.
I was desperate for a refueling of the bladderisation fluid, the Pinot, as I was watching this game. I was watching it actually... in a boozer. I didn't get up to Liverpool, the city of Liverpool, or Liverpool Anfield for that game. And I wanted to refill my glass on 89 minutes and thought I'll do it when the extra time is finished. Yeah. Didn't realise it was 6 minutes of extra time.
It was an awful lot of time.
Yeah. So I was whistling into my glass and the two combined.
So when the goal went in, you didn't even have any grog to kind of calm the pain.
I didn't. I had to send somebody to the bar, get me a large one, to dull the senses of sheer desperation and despair.
Indeed. Mm. John says this on Facebook. Porky, in your opinion, which country has the best cuisine in the world?
Now, funny enough, I've been away recently up north, sorting out some family matters and all that.
Yes.
We went to a terrific Italian restaurant in the city of Chester, my hometown.
Really?
Called La Traviata or something like that, you know what I mean?
La Traviata?
La Traviata could be. Why'd you say that?
Well, it's like the name of an opera, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Traviata, yeah. Do you know Trattoria?
Yeah.
And, you know, in Italy, when you go to little towns, you say, where's the local track?
Yeah.
Which means, really, the local sort of Chinese restaurant, if you're in China, you know what I mean?
The local restaurant.
Yeah.
The local trat.
Yeah, the trat is the trattoria. The trat is the... that's
I've never heard that said in an Italian village.
No, trattoria is means restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
But this was called La Trattoria Travoria, or something like that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, the Trevoria restaurant or something like that.
Okay, was it good?
It was brilliant. Yeah. So I went in there. Also, the Italians have amazing floors because, you know, in this country we tile our floors, but we tile them all the same colour.
Yeah.
What the Italians do is they put mosaic tiles down, which don't even match each other, you know, all over the restaurant. Fantastic
flooring.
Well,
they do that in lots of places. Fantastic flooring. It's not just the Italian restaurants.
No, they do. They do. Fantastic flooring. Mm. And I was well impressed with the floor.
Were you? What were you doing on the floor?
Well, I wasn't on the floor. No, no. As I walked in, I thought, I really like the floor. And because I like the floor, I thought, this sounds good. I then spoke to the head waiter.
Yes.
And he said, Grazie. Uh-huh. Is that greeting?
From Chester, is he?
Yeah, no. Or did he say ciao?
Would he not say...
Buenito. Bienvenido.
Bienvenido. Bienvenido.
Bienvenido. Bienvenido, sir. How are you? You know, and I said, yeah, I'm great. I had some companions with me.
Yeah.
And I said, we'd like a nice table, please, in the windows. Nothing is too much for you.
Was it busy?
It was very busy.
Was it?
Do you know what? I was in Chester, and I suppose it was it's a week before Christmas, isn't it? Or 2 weeks before Christmas.
Yeah.
I've never seen a busier town in my life. I thought the high street was dead.
Really?
Chester's throbbing. Exactly. Absolutely throbbing. You
know? Well, listen, if we take this long to answer every question, we're not going to get any questions in.
So this is exactly the point I'm making. You know, I love pizzas, but I get them from Domino's. Don't trust any pizzas anywhere else.
You should get them from a proper Italian restaurant.
They had a very long pizza. So I decided my staple diet in Italian restaurants is always spaghetti bolognese.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'd been to a previous Italian restaurant in the same town, Chester, but they didn't have spaghetti bolognese.
Really?
They only had that one with chicken and ham. What's that called?
Oh, I know.
You know, spaghetti something else.
Yeah, yeah.
Spaghetti La Carna or something, is it?
Something like that, yeah.
Or something like that, you know. So anyway, I said, look, what I require before I sit down and even look at your menu is minestrone soup and spaghetti bolognese with a side dish of extra meat. Because I'm not that keen...
Extra meat.
Yeah, I'm not that keen on the old spag, you know, the pasta.
Why not?
But I love the meat.
Pasta's
good
for you.
It makes you fat. So they said, sir, nothing is too much trouble for you. Sit down, please.
Mm.
Well, I'm not joking. They brought me a bowl of minestrone, which was a vat.
Mm.
And also, I think what they were doing is, I think they were heating it in the microwave before they brought it to the table.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very hot.
Right.
I mean, boilingly hot.
Yeah.
And it took me ages to eat it.
Right.
But then I had a really big bowl of spag bol.
Right.
So the answer is Italy.
Italy, OK. Mm. Here's one from Carl. He says, Porky, all these campaigns you've led haven't been successful. Tommy the Chimp, Raise the Bar, etc. Yeah. Do you consider yourself a failure?
No, I consider myself an enormous success, both in life,
both
physically, mentally, psychologically.
How's the Lyme disease coming along?
Lyme disease, I think it's hit the back of my neck now.
Oh, really?
It's very, very stiff indeed.
Is it?
And I'm going to have to go and see some sort of specialist.
Maybe head massagist.
Well, I haven't been to see the Indian head massagist yet, but that's a good thought. Thank you for reminding me. I'm
going
to go and see him.
Yeah.
And what I'd say is, you've got to remember, many, many of my campaigns have come to fruition.
Have they?
And the main one, recently, just to remind everybody, was banning a penalty taker from hitting the ball twice after the goalkeeper saved the first one and scoring goals.
Yeah, well, hang on.
I suggested that.
But they haven't changed
They're about to.
No, they're not.
They're about to.
No, they're not. Rubbish.
They are.
No, FIFA said they were going to look at it.
Yeah.
And they've looked at it.
No.
And they've said nothing. So therefore, they're not going to change
it. Rubbish. They're still looking at it. That's one of my great campaigns.
No, it's failed.
Another of my great campaigns from years ago was to restrict cars in city centres, but not too much, you know.
Right.
That's proved.
It's not much of a slogan, is it?
That's
restrict cars coming to the city centre, but not too much.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That's been fruitful all over the world
what
as well.
What do we want?
Restrict
cars coming to the city centre, but not too much. When do we want it?
Right,
whenever you can get around to it.
Yeah, exactly. And many other campaigns, which I've campaigned for, have come to pass.
Right. Okay, Paul says this on Facebook. Hi, Porky. Have you joined TalkSport Dating to try to find the first Mrs. Parry?
No, because the search for the first Mrs. Parry is no longer active.
Is it not?
No. The situation was that some 15 years ago, I was then in lower middle age rather than early middle age, okay? And in the lower middle age days, I thought, well, I wonder whether I do want to change my lifestyle now and whether I do. So I started what would be known as a league table of FMPs, First Mrs. Parry's, and lots of volunteers and obviously lots of willing candidates, if you see what I mean.
I see.
And I thought maybe it would work out. However, life moves on. You know, I have a commitment to work at all times, you know, because that's what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Don't like not working. found it a bit difficult being away a couple of weeks ago and being somewhat out of touch, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I have now abandoned the first Mrs. Parry campaign, the FMP.
Have you?
There were plenty of people right up there at the top. Mm. Plenty of very, what are you crooning for?
Comely wenches?
No. I'm just no, laughing. I do not refer to them as comely wenches.
Really?
I would say plenty of sophisticated ladies.
I see, yeah.
I saw a picture...
Secretaries, you mean?
Not really. I saw a picture this week again of Nancy DeLellier.
Oh, yes.
And she went to Cigar Man of the Year Award, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, to say she's starting to look a little bit like a sort of... I don't want to be unkind, because I like Nancy.
Yeah.
And I think she's a lovely lady. Yeah. And but I just want
she's
to offer...
She's had a bit too much work done, hasn't she?
I just want to offer a bit of advice.
Yeah.
That if you quickly glanced at the picture I saw,
yeah,
you might wonder, are you looking at a drag queen, that's all? You know what I mean? Because, no, seriously.
You don't want to be unkind, though.
No, I don't want to be unkind.
That would be
no,
unkind.
I'm not being unkind. I'm trying to be kind,
yeah,
to Ms. DeLolio and right, say, look, have a look at yourself a little bit. We have to look at ourselves occasionally.
What do you find when you look at yourself?
When I find a look at myself, I say satisfactory.
Really?
Satisfactory, yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right.
And also what I'd say is that, you know, you're, you know, basically there's a beautiful woman there and you don't need to, you know, you don't need to mess around too much with the basic product.
No, that's I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Jonathan says, Porky, in the last week I've turned 30. What travel recommendations can you give me to ensure my 30s are the most enjoyable decade of my life?
Well, you see, that's a strange ambition. I'm going to make the 30s the most enjoyable travelling decade of my life.
Really?
You see, I've always had a problem with travel. I don't like travel if there's nothing at the end to make it a journey worth taking.
Is it something, nothing at the end meaning what? What sort of something you're thinking of?
Well, I don't understand people who say, oh, yes, we're going on holiday. Where are you going? Yeah. We're going to Tenerife. Yeah. What's going to do there? Well, for 10 days,
nothing.
Going to a hotel. That's right, yeah, nothing.
That's what people like to do.
Line a sun lounger. Yeah, but I mean, look, I would say when you go on holiday, a lot of your energy and time is spent on making sure your boys have a good holiday,
that's
okay?
True. Yeah.
And therefore, there's a purpose to your holiday.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about a couple. This guy's 30.
But you could go with your girlfriend on holiday somewhere and just,
of course
you know,
could
spend the whole time shagging each other if you wish.
Well, you could, but you do that at home anyway. So what's the point of going...
It's a different place, isn't it?
Well, I suppose it might be. But the thrill of that would wear us out for a couple of nights. I went to Lanzarote once with a girlfriend for that very reason.
Yes.
And the thrill of that wore out after a couple of nights because the bed was so fucking useless.
Yeah, well,
you don't go
to some flea-bitten hotel in Lanzarote.
No, I didn't.
You go and get a lovely villa with a swimming pool.
I did. I rented a villa. We rented a villa in, what's the capital of Lanzarote called?
Well,
Playa de America, isn't it, or something?
Well, Lanzarote's not, is that an island?
Lanzarote's a volcanic island just off Tenerife.
Is it in the
Canary Islands.
Canary Islands. And, I don't know. I've never been to
I've got a villa,
Lanzarote.
But the bed was poor, so that made...
Well, that was only one bed. What sort of villa was that?
No.
One-bedroom villa.
No, we were in the master bedroom. But you know, on the continent, they have these fucking beds which are made of like wooden frames. They're not like divan beds and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, a couple of weeks ago I stayed at the Chester Grosvenor Hotel in a 6 foot wide bed.
Really?
Right.
Very nice.
I think it was wide and
super
it was long.
Super king
and all that. And I have to say, the mattress was the softest I've ever slept on.
I do like a nice hotel bedroom.
So I asked them whose mattress is it, and they've told me I'm gonna buy one.
Are you?
I'll have to buy a 6 foot bed first, but I'll do that.
Well,
and
otherwise,
then,
it won't fit.
Then, yeah, exactly.
How are you going to get that up to the penthouse?
I'll pay people to carry it up there. Don't worry about that. But
I'm
get in the lift. And,
they
can't get the lift. The lift's too big.
Anyway, where's he going to go, this guy? He's asking you a question.
Right.
You know.
What I would do is, if you're telling me you're 30 now and you're looking for a travel experience, I would say if you haven't been before, you must go to Australia.
Uh-huh.
Because Sydney is a great, great town, despite the fact that the Liberal left in Australia tried to close Sydney down at 10:30 at night, which we've heard about from our own correspondent, Sandra. You know, news that's fit to print, wasn't it? Was hers,
Fit to print.
But there's other parts of Australia, like, for instance, Perth is a great town. Western Australia is good. Melbourne is wonderful.
Yeah.
And then you could always hop over to New Zealand and see a bit of 1950s England, which is what the backdrop of New Zealand's all about.
Okay. Jamie says, funnily enough, talking about Perth, he says, Dear Porky, what are your thoughts on artificial grass, as I sell loads in Perth, Australia? Would you ever get it at your penthouse in Croydon?
What?
He sells artificial grass.
Why would he sells it?
He sells it, he says,
He sells it?
Yeah.
What do you mean he sells it?
Well, he says he sells artificial grass. Well,
I thought he said he saw a lot of artificial grass in Perth.
No, he says, I sell loads in Perth.
Oh, he sells loads. Is this Perth in Scotland or
in Australia.
How do you know that?
Well, he says, I sell loads in Perth, Australia.
Oh, Perth, Australia, right. Well,
you're
I don't know why you do that.
Listening to me.
Well, look, I can only assume it's so hot, and it is. And of course, you have the Fremantle Doctor in Perth, which comes up the coast from Fremantle, and it blows everything dry.
Yes.
I would only assume that, you know, it's a good place to have artificial grass because there's not enough moisture.
Well, possibly so.
To keep.
Also, maybe they don't want you watering the grass because there's a shortage of water.
Good point. Yeah. But I hate artificial grass.
Yeah.
If you spill anything on it, then you have to try and clean it like a carpet. Whereas if you spill anything on natural grass, it just grows out and you water it and
as long as it's not paint, of course.
Paint would grow out of natural grass.
No,
it would. Or look. You could get your grass shears, cut it short, dig it out, replace it with something else, and then get moving.
You can buy turf.
You can buy turf.
I mean, I bought some turf not that long ago.
Yeah.
Last summer, I think it was. Because I'd had a swimming pool, you know, for the kids. And when we put the
swimming pool. Well, do you mean a paddling pool?
An inflatable swimming pool.
Right.
It's like,
inflatable.
You know,
How big is it?
Well, it was about probably in diameter. I would say about 8-9 feet.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a big sort of circular
pool. That's
with a solid, and you can actually, if you want to do it, we thought about it, but didn't in the end, you can actually build a sort of wooden surround, so it becomes like a real swimming pool, which you can go up steps to jump into, you know. But we didn't do that. But when we took the pool down, all the, of course, under the grass underneath it all died.
Yeah, of course.
So there was a big round fucking hole.
I see.
So I went to the local garden centre.
Yes.
Because my other half
can
was
you
talking
buy
about,
round turf?
No, you can't, but you can shape it. Right?
I
so
see,
I
yeah.
bought, you know, a load of straight turf.
Right.
Because I thought, I'm not going to bother putting bloody, you know,
fertilizer and all that,
and watch it growing for 6 months, you know.
Yeah.
So I just immediately covered it up with the real grass.
But I bet it was a different colour to the real grass.
No, it's actually fitted in really well.
Really?
It's been really good.
Okay.
It's been very successful.
What did you do with the spare bits, like from the square turf?
I didn't have too many spare bits, but
well, you would have done because you had long strips going into a circle.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so when you manicured it, what did you do?
You only miss a little bit, so I just put it somewhere else, wherever there was a hole in the ground that needed more grass.
Okay.
But I mean, also I had friends in Scotland who had kids who were always playing football in the back garden.
Right.
And it was so muddy because of the rain in Scotland.
Yeah.
They got artificial grass.
Well,
in
I
the
think
back
that's
garden.
A good idea. Because there's a purpose. If you're asking me for a kids' football pitch, I'd say artificial turf is fine. But you wouldn't put artificial turf in your garden where your roses are and all kinds of things like that.
But you haven't got a garden because, anyway, so you wouldn't have to worry.
I've got
about
a roof garden.
Yeah, but you've got paving stones down.
Yes, I have.
And you could put artificial
and funny
turf
enough,
there and pretend
funny
it's
enough,
a real
I was talking
turf.
Earlier about Italian floors and all that. My paving stones in my roof garden are Italian slate imported from Italy.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure they're not just imported from B&Q?
No, definitely
right,
not.
How about
imported
this from Alex then on Facebook? How much a month does Porky spend on his many journals?
On my journals?
Yeah.
I would say my journals bill per month, I would say, is about £100. No, £120.
That's a lot of money, that.
It's a lot of money, but I read a lot of journals.
What's the most expensive journal that you buy?
The most expensive is probably... Now, remember, of course, I can't reveal how many subscriptions I have to official journals.
Why not?
You know, like medical journals.
The Grocer?
Maybe. Agricultural journals to keep in touch with food shortages, that kind of stuff, you know. meteorological journals to make sure I'm ahead of the weather,
the
forecasts and all that, you know. But on a basic pattern, about £120 a month. Mm. And, of course, on top of all that, my newspapers, magazines, and subscriptions to online info.
Oh, really?
So I'd say you're talking £250 a month.
That's a lot of money.
£250 a month, yeah.
Steve says this on Twitter. I've seen a lot of people putting their Christmas trees and decorations up very early this year, some even in November. What date does Porky think is the right one to set up the tree?
I think December the 1 is a good date.
Okay.
December 1 was a good date. And the reason I say that is because you don't want to go too early. I don't have a problem when you walk into a restaurant or, you know, bar restaurant or something like that in October and suddenly you see a sign saying, you know, make your Christmas booking here. Because if you've got a well-organised business, you should start booking the Christmas party in October.
Mm-hmm.
You know, November, you know, you're into the sort of festive season.
Yeah.
So I haven't got a problem with that. However, domestically, I think you're mad to put anything up. Personally, for me...
You mean in the house?
In the house or outside the house, so other people driving past it.
Yeah.
I honestly think 3 weeks from Christmas Day, so that would be December the 4th,
yeah.
No, I don't even think that's good. I'd say December the 7th or 8th, two and a half weeks before Christmas.
Okay.
And then I would take them down on January 2nd.
Well, you're supposed to turn them down January 6th, which is the day of the Epiphany.
12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's all bollocks. Because
what do you mean it's not bollocks?
No.
Many people believe in the religious aspect of Christmas, and I don't think you should poo-poo it by saying it's all bollocks.
There's nothing religious about having
Christmas, of course it's religious. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ.
There's nothing religious, if you just listen, you loaf-faced individual. There's nothing religious about having a flashing Santa and his sleigh on the roof of your house to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
But what I'm saying is the Epiphany...
And it's irritating to neighbours to be looking at that on November the 28th.
So you don't like looking at people's
No. It's as far as I'm concerned, they're
such an old Grinch,
they're invading my brain. And what the other thing I would say is that they should come down on January the 2nd because Christmas goes on for too long anyway.
Yeah.
I would like Christmas to be like American Thanksgiving.
What, 4 days?
Yeah, about 4 days. Yeah, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, 27th, right?
It's nice to see the lights in the streets, though, isn't it? Don't you think?
No, it's all over then. And when we used to have proper weather in this country, all the snow had turned to slush.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, to gear all up again for New Year's Eve. I don't give a fuck about New Year's Eve.
No.
I never celebrate it.
No, me neither.
I used to, though,
when I was younger.
When we used to live in New York, I used to go about 5 different parties on New Year's Eve.
That's what I mean.
University club and all that.
But now we don't bother.
And get in at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's a celebration too far for me.
Okay. Right. One final question in this section from Ross. Porky, where will you be partaking in mass bladderation after the Christmas show? Which, of course, is coming up very shortly at the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
It's imminent. It's within days.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe in mass bladderation.
Don't you?
Also, as you will attest to me, MG, there is a sense of adrenaline running through, coursing through your body after a live show.
Yeah.
We will probably retire to the dressing room.
Yeah.
Actually, don't we go up to the bar upstairs?
We normally have a little get-together for our sort of friends.
Get-together for our friends upstairs, absolutely. Yes. And that's what we'll be doing this year.
Yeah. But I've actually got to work the following morning, so I'm not going to be...
Work on what?
I've got to work on Talk Radio on the Monday.
Oh, blimey, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Well, of course I have. I mean, I work on a Monday morning, so I'm not going to cancel it.
Why not?
That's what I did last year.
You should have taken it off.
Why?
Well, because, you give yourself one day off. In fact, funnily enough, I've got a very busy Christmas as well.
Yeah.
I'm doing TV with Jeremy Vine.
Yeah.
And also on the Steam Radio, I'll be doing a Clash of the Titans.
Yes.
And all that kind of stuff. So we're both going to be pretty busy.
We are going to be
busy. I made sure to give my audience on the night the proper amount of power and energy that I wouldn't have to drag myself off the stage early. Right.
Well, there's no reason to do that. Anyway, lots more Ask Porkies to come after this. Okay, next one, please, from Aidan, who has sent in this question on Twitter. Do you actually watch the shows you review on Porky Vision? Because I think I must be watching a completely different show with the same name sometimes.
What's this guy's name?
His name's Aidan.
Aidan, can I tell you this, pal?
Yeah.
There are two ways of looking at shows on TV or on Netflix or something else, you know. You either look at them as a wide-eyed and rather naive viewer, or you look at them with a laser-like intensity of intelligence to analyse what it's all about.
Yeah.
I do the latter.
Do you?
And then I bring that gift to programmes like this to help my listeners, our listeners, to understand the ins and outs of these very complicated programmes. Mm. For instance...
Yeah.
Little Drummer Girl.
Yes.
She's still trailing on.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I still don't bloody understand, eh?
I think it's finished.
It has finished, but I haven't got round to watching the last couple of episodes.
Tell you what happens?
I couldn't care less because it's not one of my favourite programmes.
To be honest, I can't remember.
But you can't remember, okay. No. So you're watching it when you're bladderated, obviously.
Not really, no. It wasn't particularly significant, so I didn't suddenly think to myself, oh, blimey, that's clever.
I saw one a couple of weeks ago called Mrs. Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd remember that because, of course, there used to be a Prime Minister in this country called
Keely
Harold
Hawes
Wilson.
Is in that one?
Keely Hawes is in the second episode.
Right.
She wasn't in the first one, she's in the second one. And it's amazing because it's so unbelievable, but it's actually a very true story.
Is this the one about Harold Wilson's wife?
No. That was Mary Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she wrote poetry.
I thought she was in the Supremes.
Oh, Mary Wilson's Supremes. Yeah. Harold Wilson's wife is Mary Wilson as well. She wrote poetry and when I lived in the Scilly Isles.
So which Mrs. Wilson is this then?
Harold Wilson, by the way, towards the end of his life, because he was Prime Minister in the 60s, right?
He was.
And then he suddenly quit out of the blue.
Yes.
And it was just after the scandal of the Lavender Notepaper honours list, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody thought he was shagging Marcia Faulkender, who was his private secretary.
Was he not, then?
Well, nobody quite knows.
Nah.
I mean, he didn't look like a...
What was the name of the guy with the Mac?
The guy with the Mac was Kagan, Lord Kagan.
Lord Kagan.
And he ran this Mac company up in Huddersfield, and he gave him free Macs.
Yes.
But Marcia Faulkender was rather a buck-toothed blonde woman who was his personal assistant. And she used to go around just saying, Harold, do this. Harold, do that.
And what did Mrs. Wilson have to say about that?
Well, she kept very low profile.
Yeah.
And what happened was, Wilson then suddenly quit, very quickly, never quite knew. And everybody thought it was going to be because... Marcia was threatening to expose the affair. Mind you, that's all allegation stuff because I think Marcia's still alive.
Mm.
Or she might have died recently. Is she alive or she
I've
died?
No idea.
Well, okay, she's one or the other, obviously.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
You can't be anybody in between. You're either dead or you're alive, basically, right?
And what I was going to say was that, Mrs. Wilson wrote a load of poetry. Marcia Faulkender issued the honours list, but unfortunately, a lot of the honours went to a load of crooks, you know, who Kagan ended up in jail.
Yeah.
Kagan ended up in jail for
There was a bit of corruption knocking about.
Around in those days, you know, getting government contracts and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Harold Wilson, when he left office, then went bonkers. The poor man suffered some sort of dementia.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and a former political editor of the Daily Express was one of the last people to see him alive. And he was at a dinner at the House of Lords because he became somebody like Lord Rivendale or something.
Yes.
Lord Rivaloo.
Something
Lord
like
Rivaloo or something.
Rivaloo?
Yeah, it sounds quite...
Yeah.
He came from Huddersfield Grammar School.
Is this anything to do with the answer of the question?
Yes, went to Cambridge.
You know, we're going
to
run out of time here.
Went to Cambridge University, got a tripose. You know what that is?
Is it similar to the PPE?
No, no, no. Tripose is getting a first-class honours degree in three different subjects.
Oh, okay.
I think it was PPE.
Is that three different subjects?
So politics, philosophy and economics. Yeah, probably, yeah.
Well, that's not just one subject.
No, PPE.
You get one degree, you get three fucking degrees. They're a band.
Ah, yeah, but...
Prince Charles's favourite.
Ah, but in each paper, he got a first-class honours. It's almost unheard of.
Is it?
Very bright boy. Right. Huddersfield man. Used to put the pipe in his mouth at all time, but never smoked it.
No.
He didn't really smoke a pipe.
No, a lot of people who smoke pipes don't actually smoke them.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we move on now?
That was just to make it... But anyway, what I was going to say is the former...
You actually answered the question.
What is the question again?
The question was about bloody... whether or not you actually have watched the programmes that you reviewed.
So, but anyway, just to finish on Harold Wilson, unfortunately, the poor man suffered dementia was the end of his life.
Uh-huh.
And the former political editor I'm talking about, who'd known him for 30 years, saw him at the last dinner at the House of Lords, went up to him, and Mr. Wilson, the former Prime Minister, Lord Rivaloo, said, you're a very engaging chap. You know, what do you do? He's known him for 30 years.
Really?
I'm afraid that's the way it goes.
Sad, isn't it?
But to answer the question, Mrs. Wilson was brilliant, but it was so extraordinary. Everybody said that
it's
could never...
It's not about Mrs. Wilson,
Hang on. It could never happen in real life. And guess what? It was a true story, and the woman playing... The wife who was betrayed three times by her husband was the granddaughter of the woman it actually happened to in real life.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How fascinating.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, basically.
What's what was the question again?
Do you watch the programmes that you review?
Of course I do. Of course I watch them.
Duncan asked this. Should Nigel Farage come back to sort Brexit once and for all?
To be honest, I have not a lot of time for politicians these days. Mm. I think they're all a bunch of bums. They're all in it for themselves. I talked to my local MP, a guy called Paul Scully.
Yeah, we had him on our show not long ago, actually.
I met him just a week or so ago.
Okay.
So he'd been on your show.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think he's a straight talker.
He's
a leaver. He wants to get out and all that kind of stuff, you know. And but most of the time, I don't have a lot of time for MPs. Nigel Farage... To my mind, bit of a clown.
Mm.
Had this remarkable bit of luck in the fact that he became a friend of President Trump.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he had similar sort of policies.
Well, he didn't even know he'd won the Brexit referendum.
No,
because he thought he predicted that he'd lost it.
He said about 11:40 at night, didn't he? He said, "Well, we got very close, but we didn't quite make it." Mm. You know, woke up the following morning to find he had won the Brexit referendum. You know, and of course, when David Cameron completely screwed things up to walk off the world stage, there was nobody to ally us to the United States of America.
No.
We didn't have a prime minister.
No,
Cameron had gone, and we were in abeyance.
No, he didn't.
So Farage filled the gap.
He's
quite a clever man.
So you don't think he should come back anyway?
No, I definitely don't think he should come back. He's come back too many times as leader of UKIP.
Mm.
And the other thing I don't quite like about him is I like an MP to be approachable, I like an MP to be a man of the people, but every time I see him with a pint of beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other, I don't think I'd vote for you.
There you go. Question from Mark, who says, Porky, what do you get someone for Christmas who always says, surprise me or I don't know?
Well, it's funny you should say that, but I tell you what is becoming more and more popular, and that is not buying people things which are solid objects for Christmas.
Yeah.
You buy them something they can do.
An experience.
So, for instance, in the Two Mics case,
yes,
somebody can buy a year's viewing of the Two Mics, right, for just £29.99.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not plugging this now because I'm saying that, but I mean, that's an experience which we were encouraged to do. And loads of people have asked if they can, we can send them a message to go with the experience.
Mm.
Problem is, we've sold hundreds of them now, so it's not going to be possible to do everyone.
No,
but
indeed.
What I'm saying is, for the last couple of years, I've bought members of my family a weekend in a spa hotel.
Oh, yeah.
My sisters, you know, uh-huh, love going to these spa
very
hotels,
nice,
and
yeah,
get all the pampering stuff, mm, and all that, you know. And I bought one of my brothers-in-law a 10 golf lessons,
okay,
you know, and that kind of thing.
Right.
And that's becoming much more popular now,
yes,
than actually buying people toasters.
Quite expensive, though, isn't it? If
you, they are quite expensive. They are quite expensive, but
I mean,
you can't take
them
with
you. Being a man of the people, you might not be able to buy 10 golf lessons if you haven't got your kind of money.
Well, you know, yeah, we all make our own deal in life with the Almighty. We have to, uh-huh, furrow our field.
I see.
Yes.
George says this, which is the greatest achievement? Swimming the Channel, climbing Everest, or lasting an afternoon with Alan Brazil?
The first one, climbing Everest. Not sure why anybody does it.
Yeah.
Who was that, perpetual boar mountaineer, Chris somebody, who used to climb mountains all the time?
Yeah, I know the guy.
You know, the famous expression was, you know, why do you climb mountains, Chris? Because they're there.
Yes.
Well, that's very prophetic,
well,
you know what I mean?
It's quite philosophical, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not philosophical, because you've got nothing better to do.
Mm.
You know, I prefer people to succeed in industry and all that kind of stuff. Bonington, was that his name?
Chris Bonington,
right,
yes. Well remembered.
Yeah, so I always felt he was a bit of a sort of, you know, poseur. The guy who I did quite like was the other guy who's got a name very similar to an actor,
yeah,
who also climbs
you
mountains.
You mean Ralph Fiennes?
Ralph Fiennes, yeah. And oh, there's Ray and a Ralph, isn't there?
Ralph. I think Ralph Fiennes is
the actor.
He's the explorer.
Oh, is he?
And I think Ralph Fiennes,
okay,
is the actor, isn't he?
So I quite,
is he the guy that lost his toe or something?
No, it's
or
better
his
than
finger.
That. I quite took to Ralph Fiennes, you know, because he's another, quote, adventurer. Anybody calls himself an adventurer, normally I say...
They've all got funny names, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got funny names. But normally adventurer for me is spelt wanker, you know what I mean? And
Bear Grylls?
Well, Bear Grylls, I don't know much about. I've never seen one of his shows.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I don't want to be unkind to these people.
No, that wouldn't be nice.
But I'm not going to class... is it Rafe or Ralph?
Ralph.
I'm not going to class Ralph Fiennes in this because
you're not going to call him a wanker.
No, he's not a wanker.
No.
Ralph Fiennes is not a wanker.
No,
I can say that definitely. Yeah,
say,
yeah,
yeah.
But the reason for that is I saw a great interview with him once, and they said, well, you know, people always say, you know, Chris Bonington famously said, well, I climb the mountains because they're there.
Yeah.
Why do you climb them? And Ralph Fiennes said, because that's my job.
Right.
And they said, well...
Well, that's a bit more of a good answer.
Yeah. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, that's how I earn my living.
Mm.
I said, I couldn't put food on the table for my family, so I went around climbing mountains.
Mm.
They said, but you don't make money. He said, I do. I get sponsored to do them. There's all sorts of sponsorship deals with them and, you know, massive international companies, you know, like phone companies, get to the top of the mountain, use the phone and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It's all done on sponsorship now, mountain climbing.
Uh-huh.
However, you're absolutely right. One time when he fell into a crevasse or something, you know, and somebody had to go and rescue him. That's the other thing I think about mountaineers. So many other people have to go and rescue them when they fall over.
Well, not so many.
Fall down.
No.
Well,
some people die on Everest, you know.
Yeah.
They don't need rescuing. They need, you know, burying. And people just leave them there.
Oh, no. People
the place
have been,
is littered with bodies.
People have been frozen into the frozen waste
right
of the top of Everest
for
40 years.
Yeah.
And sometimes, occasionally, when somebody else is climbing, they put a pickaxe in and they come across the one. You know, it's quite a frightening experience.
I imagine it would be.
Mm. But anyway, so what Ralph Fiennes said was, look, that's my job. I don't do anything else. I don't know how to do anything else, you know. So he goes...
You're actually going to answer any of these questions.
Yeah. He goes trekking across the Antarctic and the Arctic and all that. I can't imagine a more difficult job than towing a fucking 40, you know, pound... No, how much do these slaves weigh?
More than 40 pounds.
Probably 120 pounds.
They're carrying a load of tins with them, aren't they?
Yeah.
With all the food.
120 pounds sleigh. And you think, well, OK, that's all right if you're doing it on a flat surface like an English country road.
Mm.
But these are frozen ice waves.
Yeah.
You have to go up and down them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
It's horrendous. And anyway, he, on one occasion, followed this crevasse, And he realised that three fingers of his left hand were going black. Uh-huh. Therefore, he was getting gangrene.
Right.
He had frostbite. You get frostbite first, then you get gangrene, then you get death. So he got frostbite, he was getting gangrene, so he just got a saw out and he sawed them off.
Oh.
And it was completely painless because...
Because there was no feeling.
No, all the feeling had gone out of him, but he had to get them off, otherwise it would have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Do you remember...
blood poisoning he could get, can't
he? He could get blood poisoning or anything, so he did quite a good job there. Yeah. He's only got like, you know, like 2.5 fingers on one hand now, and I quite admire him for that.
Okay. Here's another one from Australia, from Ian.
Oh, sorry, the question was about bladderation with Mr. Brazil.
Is surviving an afternoon with Brazil better than actually climbing Everest?
Al's a one-off, and I would never try to compete with him.
Yeah.
And I would advise anybody else not to.
No, indeed. Ian from Australia says, I'm soon to relocate from Cairns, Australia, to the UK, and I was wondering about transport, Porky. I have a budget of around £2,000 for a vehicle and insurance. So should I buy a car worth £1,000, which would cost me around £1,000 in insurance cost, or buy a motorcycle for £1,800 and £200 insurance? There is only me, so no family to drive around.
Well, I mean, you've got to, you know, make your mind up on that yourself, pal. I mean, what I would say is, are you coming back with a view to enticing a young lady into your company? In which case, she's not going to get on the back of your motorbike, is she, you know?
Unlikely.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I would not have an ambition to buy a car in this country for £1,000. How much did your old jalopy Mercedes cost you?
Do you know, I think I paid about two grand for that.
£2,000, that's right, yeah.
And it was in pretty bad shape. Yeah, in fact, it was only later that I discovered that it had been written off in a previous accident.
Written off and put back on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
dangerous.
Because
when I went to sell it, right, the guy that I sold it to, or I went to one of those, you know, you, webuyanycar.com,
that's right,
and they said, you know, did you know that... this car has been written off. And I said, I don't think I did know that because the guy never told me.
So how much did you get for it?
£400.
Well, that's not bad.
Well, they were going to give me 400.
For 2 years?
Well, they were going to give me 400 for it minus whatever their take was. So I've only got about 250.
Right.
So I ended up selling it to the bloke that used to fix it up to me. We gave it to his missus.
Oh, I see.
£400.
But it still had the hole in the bonnet when you sold it.
Yeah.
Because, of course,
I never did anything.
You ran into a coal lorry
or something, didn't you? Somebody did that when it was parked.
Oh, I see.
In my road. Somehow, somebody must have cut across
it. Some nefarious individual never owned up to it.
Never put
it wasn't worth getting the bonnet replaced, really, was it?
Not really.
No.
I looked at doing that, and it was going to cost probably about £400 or £500.
Yeah, but
so it just wasn't worth doing.
But when you've got a car with a hole in the bonnet, doesn't the rain get through to the engine?
Well, it wasn't really a hole, it was a scrape.
Oh, a scrape.
It looked like a hole to me whenever I saw it.
It
was a bit rusty.
Yeah.
It was a very old car.
A very old car. So I would say, mate, unless you can get yourself a decent motor, and remember I've got an elite motor, and
I have to admit,
old MG's got a bit of an elite motor as well. You've got a big Jag, 4x4 and all that. I wouldn't bother, honest to God. Do you know what?
Well, get a motorbike, you mean?
No, don't even get a motorbike. What I'd say is, if you've got £2,000 budget, you can get around on public transport in this country. It's not bad.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean,
well,
and remember
what he's got to do, though.
And remember, if you want to get on the bladderation trail, the worst thing possible to have in this country, because of course it's not only illegal but it's immoral, is to have a motor.
A motor?
Yeah, you know, like a car.
Yeah. Here's one from Rob. Would Porky ever go in the jungle on I'm a Celebrity? I think he would be great entertainment.
Well, it's very kind of you to say that, and the answer to that question is simply, it would depend how much money I was offered.
Yes.
I'm not sure I could put grubs in my mouth.
I think if you got £600,000 from Noel Edmonds' bank account, and then he got kicked out after the first few days.
He did, didn't he? Yeah. I couldn't put grubs in my mouth, so I'd make a big protest about that and all that kind of stuff.
You say you're a vegan.
Hey?
You could say you're a vegan.
I say I was a vegan, I don't eat grubs, you know, or whatever. I assume that all the doctors have to pass the stuff they put in people's mouths.
Oh, I think so.
Otherwise, it would poison you to death.
I think so. But people do get quite sort of bad stomach upsets and things.
Well, you know, I don't know about all that, man. Mm. But it would just depend on exactly how. I mean, I would be a very competitor, if you know what I mean.
Would you?
Because I always have been. When I was about 13 in Mallorca, you went to one of these Spanish fiesta type things in the afternoon, you know. And, you know, Spanish culture and all that. And there was a prize of a bottle of sangria for the first person to climb up the greasy pole in the middle of the square that where it all took place and ring the bell.
That sounds like a hideous thing to watch you doing.
I did it.
You did it?
I did it. I won.
How did nobody else do it?
Because they weren't smarter than the average bear, and I was. You know, all the other planks and idiots do.
What did they do?
They tried to do it with their clothes on.
Uh-huh.
Now, I realised, because it was a greasy pole, I thought, I know exactly how to do this.
Right.
So I stripped down to my swimming shorts, and then got my mother to cut the shorts shorter, OK?
Right. How old were you when you did this?
About 13.
About
13, yeah. And I wrap myself around the pole.
Right, like a baboon.
Like a baboon. Yeah, literally like a baboon. Went up hand by hand, foot right. by foot.
Yeah.
Didn't have a, you know, all these idiots are trying to do it in trainers and all sorts of things. Mm. One particular plank tried to do it by using his arms extended and his legs extended. Right. So it, like Batman going up the side of a house.
Well,
you know?
Then we get halfway up and then slide all the way back down again.
No, you got halfway up and then fell down and nearly broke his back.
Well,
you
how
know,
the hell did you manage
plank.
To do that when you were 13?
Because I was just smarter than the average bear. Smart than the average bear.
Question number 13, since we're talking numbers, and I think this might be the last one.
Okay.
What is the best football stadium you've ever been to, Porky, says Luke, excluding Goodison Park?
Well, exactly. That's because my first answer would be Goodison Park. I have to say, I've got a real soft spot for Old Trafford, because whenever I go there, I feel the enormity of the club. You know, it's the biggest club in the world, and during the 25 years of their tremendous success, I used to go there often, and I like the feel of the club. I'm quite proud of it being, you know, the biggest club in the world because it's English and it's in Northern England.
Yes.
So, you know, without shadow of doubt, Manchester United outbeats anything in London when they're being successful.
Yeah.
But the stadium in the world that's most impressed me was the World Cup final in Germany in 2010 in the old Olympic Stadium in Berlin, which was built during Hitler's days.
Yeah.
And I think it's where, I'm pretty sure it's where, you know, Jesse Owens and the Olympics all took place.
Yeah, the Olympic Stadium.
That's why it's called the
Olympic
Stadium.
Absolutely.
But what they did is, and I tried to impress this upon people for years with Wembley. Wembley, of course, built in 1923. Biggest problem with Wembley was you couldn't make it bigger without taking the roof off, and then you couldn't put the roof back on because you would have to build cantilevers behind it, and that's why they built a new stadium. Somehow in the Berlin Olympic Stadium, and it takes like 70,000 people, they managed to keep the old stadium and remove the poles that kept the roof up without any cantilever around the back. You know, they got some engineering project where the structure now that supports the roof is invisible, goes up through the walls, and then comes out and supports the roof. It's amazing. And it's a beautiful stadium. It's an antique. I mean, it's a listed building. And I have to say, that was very impressive indeed.
Okay. Mm. Well, that was all the questions we had time for.
Indeed.
On this particular Ask Porky. Thank you for all those that came in. Sorry if you didn't get yours read out.
Thank you.
We will attempt to try and get Porky to answer slightly more succinctly on the next edition Ask Porky on the Record.
I mean, to say she's starting to look a little bit like a sort of, I don't want to be unkind, because like Nancy.
Yeah.
And I think she's a lovely lady. Yeah. And but I just want
she's
to offer...
She's had a bit too much work done, hasn't she?
I just want to offer a bit of advice.
Yeah.
That if you quickly glanced at the picture I saw, you might wonder, are you looking at a drag queen, that's all, you know what I mean? Because, no, seriously.
You don't want to be unkind, though.
No, I don't want to be unkind.
That would be
no,
unkind.
I'm not being unkind. I'm trying to be kind to Ms. Dell'Olio and say, look, have a look at yourself a little bit. We have to look at ourselves occasionally.
What do you find when you look at yourself?
When I have a look at myself, I say satisfactory.
Really?
Satisfactory, and... also, what I'd say is that, you know, basically there's a beautiful woman there, and you don't need to, you know, you don't need to mess around too much with the basic product. The guy with the Mac was Kagan, Lord Kagan.
Lord Kagan.
And he ran this Mac company up in Huddersfield, and he gave him free Macs.
Yes.
But Marcia Faulkender was rather a buck-toothed blonde woman who was his personal assistant. And she'd go around this thing, Harold, do this, Harold, do that.
And what did Mrs. Wilson have to say about that?
Well, she kept very low profile.
Yeah.
And what happened was, Wilson then suddenly quit, very quickly, never quite knew. Everybody thought it was going to be because Marcia was threatening to stay in bed. Mind you, that's all allegation stuff, because I think Marcia's still alive.
Mm.
Or she might have died recently. Is she alive or she
I've
died?
No idea.
Well, okay, she's one or the other, obviously.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
You can't beat anybody between. You're either dead or you're alive, basically.
But normally, adventurer for me is spelt wanker, you know what I mean?